Have you ever noticed how uncomfortable people are when nothing is going on? The great pianist Rachmaninoff tells of giving a piano recital when he was very young. And he began with a Beethoven sonata that had several very long rests in it. And during one of those long rests, a motherly lady leaned forward and patted him on the shoulder and said kindly, "Honey, play us something you know." There's an awkwardness in silence and in waiting. My kids would testify for sure that I'm not very good at handling waiting. And that was just my sister. Come on. There's a story about a man who was in a restaurant, and the waiter was passing by, and, "Excuse me," said the man, "but how long have you been working here?" "About a year," replied the waiter, and the man said very wearily, "In that case, it couldn't have been you that took my order." Waiting is no fun. Over the next few weeks, our kids will become restless with expectation and excitement, waiting on the coming of Christmas. So it is with the people of God. The Old Testament concludes with the people of Israel waiting on the coming of the Messiah. The New Testament concludes with the followers of Jesus awaiting His return. We've been waiting now for more than 2,000 years, waiting for the return of the Messiah, the Christ. But I think as we are waiting, there are some clear biblical principles for those who wait. The first is to be patient. Jesus was as explicit as He could be when He said, "No one knows the hour or even the day when the Son of Man shall return. He will come as a thief in the night. No one knows." Oh, I know that that's a common among some Christians to always be looking for the right signs and the establishment of the kingdom. Some preachers preach on nothing else. But there are two dangers in trying to rush God. The first is that in constantly looking toward the sky, we will ignore the responsibilities we have here and now. If we're constantly looking for God to right the world's wrongs someday in a great cataclysmic conclusion to life, we may never realize that it is here and now where God has placed us. As Thomas Carlyle once put it, he said, "Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand." The second danger is that we shall be taken in by false messiahs, and there are many. In 1978, the whole world was shocked and dismayed by reports from Jonestown, Guyana, where the Reverend Jim Jones led hundreds of people into one of history's darkest hours, mass suicides and mass murders. These were Americans who had fallen under the leadership of a madman. And so the advice we get is to be patient. No one knows the day or the hour of Christ's coming. God has spent millions of years creating this world, and it's been 2,000 years since Christ came into the world. God has His own timetable. It might be today, and it might be another 1,000 or 2 years. Let no one mislead you. Be patient. The second admonition is to be faithful. Now, some of you remember from high school Latin class, which I was subject to, an ancient epic poem by Homer called the Odyssey. It is the story of Odysseus, who traveled the world pursuing many adventures. Meanwhile, back home, his beautiful wife, Penelope, was being pursued by various suitors, trying to take advantage of Odysseus' 20-year absence. But in order to keep these suitors at bay, Penelope announced that when she finished weaving a particular garment, she would choose among the persistent suitors. But there was something the suitors didn't know. Each night, Penelope undid the stitches that she put in during the daytime. And so she remained faithful to Odysseus until he returned. That's our call, to be faithful. While we wait for Christ's return, we are his body in the world, called to do his work. The church has been serving the world in Christ's name for these 2,000 years. Now is not the time to let up. We hear criticism of the church, and some of it is justified. Some is not. We're not perfect here at the church, but what you do is important. Singing in the choir is important. Working with the children and the youth is doubly important. We're here doing our duty as we await the coming of the Lord. Now, some of the criticism we hear of the church is justified, but much is ill-informed. We need not overlook the church's problems, but neither should we hide her accomplishments. Some of you may know the story of writer Anne Lamott. When she was 25 years old, her father died after a long struggle with brain cancer. And over the next few years, Anne herself began to suffer an overwhelming sense of desperation and fear that she tried to suppress with alcohol and with pills. Although she was managing to write and publish successful novels at the time, it was clear that her life was spinning out of control. In her memoir, she writes about this dark period in her life. And most importantly, she tells how a community of Christian faith, a neighborhood church called St. Andrew, came to her rescue. In her book, she tells the time-honored story of a little girl who was lost. And the little girl was running up and down the streets of the big town where her family lived, but she couldn't find a single landmark. She was frightened, and finally a policeman stopped to help her. He put her up in the passenger seat of his car, and they drove around until finally she saw her church. She pointed it out to the policeman, and then she told him firmly, "You can let me out now. This is my church, and I can always find my way home from here." Anne Lamott writes, "And that's why I've stayed so close to my church. Because no matter how bad I am feeling, how lost or lonely or frightened, when I see the faces of the people at my church, when I hear their tawny voices, I can always find my way home." Be faithful. We need to remember Albert Einstein's words after the Second World War. This is what he wrote. "As a lover of freedom, when the revolution came in Germany, I looked to the universities to defend it, knowing that they had always boasted of their devotion to the cause of truth. But no, the universities were immediately silent. Then I looked to the great editors of the newspapers, whose flaming editorials in days gone by had proclaimed their love of freedom. But they, like the universities, were silenced in a few short weeks. Only the church stood squarely across the path of Hitler's campaign for suppressing truth. I never had any special interest in the church before. But now," Einstein writes, "I feel a great affection and admiration for it, because the church alone has had the courage to stand for intellectual truth and moral freedom I am forced to confess that what I once despised, now I praise unreservedly. We need to remember that we are Christ's body in the world today. Be patient. Be faithful. But one more thing. Be prepared. Be prepared for Christ's coming. Be prepared if He should come today. Be prepared if He should tarry another 1,000 years or more. Be prepared at any cost, for we simply do not know what tomorrow will bring. Nothing more is more unpredictable than the future. If there is one lesson we should learn from history, it is that. There's still so much we don't know about all the things that matter most. And predictions can only be based on current knowledge. Who could have predicted the wars that have ravaged our planets in the 20th and the 21st centuries? Who could have predicted the scourge of terrorism in our own time? In the Greek language, there are two words for time. One is kairos and the other is chronos. Chronos, as in what time it is a neutral kind of word. Kairos, on the other hand, is a word charged with power, as in the phrase, this is the time. It is that word that the Apostle Paul uses when he talks about the time of the coming of our Lord. This may be the time, or it may not. But we are to live each moment as if it were your last moment. The good that you would do, do it now. The love that you would give, give it now. The commitment that you would make, make it now. John Ruskin once put it this way. He said, let every dawn of morning be to you as the beginning of life. And every setting sun be to you as its close. Then let every one of these short lives leave its sure record of some kindly thing done for others, some goodly strength or knowledge gained for yourself. This may be the hour. That is the lesson for this first Sunday of Advent. Be patient. Be faithful. Be prepared. Amen.